gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's Tuesday, it's half term week, and that means one thing. I've got Claire, the garden editor, on the line. Talk to us today all about gardening. You all right, Claire?
Hello there, Dave. Yes, happy half term to all listeners who are celebrating or commiserating half term. And any younger listeners who are halfway through exams like GCSEs or A-levels or BTECs.
Yeah, scary, isn't it?
Get on you. Keep going. You're nearly there. Final push.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we into summer now? Because we've had some nice sunshine, haven't we?
We are into summer. We're into that weird bit, which is kind of like the early bit of summer where your spring bulbs have gone over and things might not be coming out. And it's been quite changeable, hasn't it? When the sun's out, it's nice and warm, but there's still a lot of wet.
When it rains, it's very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We had a lot of feedback on the slug episode we did. So I think there's a lot of people who've had a lot of slug problems. So hopefully if you're still suffering, go back and have a listen on the website to what we were chatting about 2 weeks ago when I was blowing your mind about nematodes and millions of tiny little worms eating slugs from the inside out.
Well, there you go. Talking about beer traps, aren't we, as well?
We were indeed.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about other things involving water today, because
okay.
I thought it's half term and sometimes people like a little bit of project. But I thought we could talk about making ponds, little wildlife ponds and container ponds, because it's quite a good project to do. And it has loads and loads of benefits. Firstly, it's really good for our environment, for nature. One of the best things you can do for your garden is to have something wet, and a wet area in your garden, a pond. Why? Because it provides places for insects, for herbivores, for lots of things to drink.
I've got a wet area in my garden.
It's called the entire garden, is it?
No,
at the
it's
moment?
Called the hot tub. That's wet.
Yeah. So you have your hot tub for your humans and your cold tub for your animals, basically.
Well,
we're doing.
Something like that.
But this might be slightly cheaper than a hot tub to run.
Okay.
So it has lots of benefits for wildlife, for, you know, hedgehogs to drink from, to tadpoles, to places for birds to drink, particularly when we get hot summers. But they also have loads of benefits for us, because if you have a pond in your garden, no matter how small, cools the air because of the transpiration. So if we're thinking about really hot summers that we'll have in the future, having some areas of water can actually help cool your garden down a bit and make it nicer to sit outside and enjoy.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's all about, there's a very fancy term. It's called ecosystem services, which is a posh way of saying, what can your garden do for you?
All right, yeah, okay, yeah. Do you know what?
So,
I've learned so much doing this garden stuff for you. I've learned
a
load of new words, and I've learned, you know, how to keep slugs out of my garden. Now I've learned how to keep my garden cool without an air conditioner.
Exactly. It's
wow.
Use nature's power. Yeah, well, I'm there's no quiz today, you'll be relieved to know, so I won't test
Good
you
luck,
what we've
then.
learned so far.
Okay.
But I do notice you've remembered beer traps, and I thought you wouldn't be alone in that, but there we are. So the beauty about having a pond is they can be as small or as big as you like. And when I say small, you can get them, you know, really small, 40 to 60 centimetres, is still a pond. You can still have a lot of fun with a small area.
Can I ask
you
you a
can
question
make
before
them.
you go any further?
Mm-hmm.
When does a puddle become a pond?
When you call it one.
Okay, so it's not a certain size
Well,
then that makes it a pond, is it?
No.
Like a boat and a ship?
No, as far as I'm aware,
okay.
It's not. If you want, I mean, there's obviously, then you get into things like lakes, which are like really big ponds, and then you get to oceans and rivers. But I think with a pond, basically, it's a permanent area of wetness in the garden.
Okay.
So that's different to things like a rain garden or a bog garden, which might be drenched at certain times of the year and then really dry at others.
Right.
So like a permanent area where you're holding water.
Right.
And
Okay.
The way you can build them in a whole variety of ways. The cheapest way is using an old container of any description. So using something which is waterproof, or you can make waterproof, and you can either have it on your patio if you want, or you can bury it in a border or kind of in the soil or near the lawn if you want.
Yeah.
My one actually is made from an old car tire, and then I've put what's called a butyl liner. So it's kind of a pond liner, specialist liner you can get. Basically just looks like bit of black plastic, and I've made a tiny, tiny pond because I've got tiny garden, and that is my little wildlife pond. So it cost me pence to make because it's an old tyre, and a bit of liner, maybe 4 or 5 quid, and you know that's the basics of it's done.
I suppose even
You
cheaper,
can,
you could use like an old like storage crate, couldn't you, really?
yep,
A solid one,
exactly. Or
not
people,
one with holes in, but
yeah, or people use old Belfast sinks. You know those really old sinks you can get. You
oh
can.
yeah,
I've seen people
they're
use those.
expensive, aren't they, them?
It really are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can use them for all sorts of things, but you know, you can go around a reclamation yard and see if there's anything there that you can use. You can buy them preformed, you know, in those kind of plastic shapes that you see
Yeah.
in garden centres. They're great because they have a natural shallow end, because one thing with ponds is you want to make sure there's places for animals to get in and out safely without getting stuck in them. But if you do buy those preformed ones, it means you do have to dig them in and make sure they're level. So basically you need to, almost like a jelly mold, you need to dig a hole and fill it with sand and get it level as possible before you put your preformed liner in.
Yeah, it's a bit of a big job in it compared to a tire and a bit of plastic.
Well, you know me and my approach to gardening, which
Well.
is there an easier way of doing this? So I'm trying to play that. I have to say that I have seen some which look spectacular. And if you're the kind of person who likes and appreciates neatness and likes things to, you know, get out your spirit level and stuff like that, preformed liner is the way to go.
Right.
Or you can, if you want a really, really big wildlife pond, you can use something called puddled clay, which literally it's clay and you pour it in and you puddle it around and it basically forms a seal. It's quite magic. But that's for kind of bigger areas.
All
The
right.
most important thing, whatever you do, is to make sure you've got a variety of heights, because if I just had my tire, like, you know, 30, 40 centimeter deep and vertical sides, that means if anything falls into that pond, like a hedgehog at the side having a drink, it won't be able to get out.
No, because they've only got little legs, haven't they?
So you've got teeny tiny legs, little paws, yeah, and don't really want to fancy joining the drowning
Is that
hedgehog
what they're
club.
called? Paws? Hedgehogs have paws, do they? Well,
I don't
there's
know.
see
Please,
there,
please
you
tell
can do
us.
some homework now for next time. You can find out whether they're called paws or not.
You know, I can do that, or I could ask our wonderful listeners, because I'm sure someone will know. What are the appendages on a hedgehog called? Are they
Okay,
paws?
yeah.
Are they claws? What are they? Please tell us. We'd love to know.
Yeah.
So you can either have a kind of a shallow end because you've got a preformed liner, or if you have, like me, a sunken container, you just put a couple of rocks in. So a couple of steps to make sure that there's kind of one area which is shallower for things which need a bit of more shallow, and deeper areas for, you know, things like frogs or newts, which can cope with deeper water and don't need to be able to get in and out easily. But so one sloping side to get in and out, and that's all you need. And again, you know me, cheap as chips, a couple of old bricks, do you fine. Or, you know, a flint or chalk lump you might have found out and about. A friend of mine calls them Hampshire diamonds, you know, those big chunks of chalk, perfect for getting in and out of ponds if you're an animal. So that's how you build a pond. Question. I know I said I was going to do a quiz, so I won't do you a question, but
Oh,
my
that's it.
next
Throw me in
question was,
the deep end. I ain't got no little
no,
bit to get out of,
I'll
look.
give you a shallow end to get out of with your paws,
Okay.
your claws or whatever.
Well,
Where to
before I can just
best.
tell you about that, I did ask the powers that be, because I asked the smart speaker, Doris, what's her name?
Yes,
Alexa.
yes,
And
yes.
she said hedgehogs have claws on their paws. So there you go.
Wow, paws and their claws. That
There you go.
sounds
I
like
just
almost
asked her
like.
in the studio, and she just told me.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, technology, for putting our minds at rest on that one.
Yeah, go on.
So
Sorry.
that's absolutely fine. So the question I was going to ask myself and ask everyone is thinking about where should we put ponds? Where should we site these in our gardens? And the ideal place is somewhere with a bit of shade. If you put it in full sun, what happens as your pond kind of develops its own ecosystem, it can get a lot of algae.
Yeah,
And
because it
algae,
gets too hot, is it?
It gets too hot, and it's a bit of a thug. And what it does, it sits there on the surface, and the first bit of sunlight comes out. They're like, aha, I'm going to grow some leaves, and I'm going to grow some more and more and more and more and more and more. And it covers the pond, and that means all your other plants die, and it reduces the amount of oxygen in the water. So putting your pond in part shade, which reduces the amount of daylight available for the algae, is a really good idea. And we can also add in things like barley or straw or lavender, which are naturally inhibit algal growth. I have to say, a lot of people, and there might be people shouting at the radios now saying, I've got so much algae this year. And it's true, because this year we've had a really warm winter. So the algae has been really quick to grow, and a couple of days of sunshine, and a lot of people have got real big problems with their algae. So try putting in a straw or a barley bale or some bits of lavender stalk to try and combat that growth. Otherwise, it's just a question of dragging it to the side, putting it on the side of your pond to let any bugs and critters crawl out of it, and just keeping it out as much as possible. And that's the best place to site it, somewhere in part shade, part sun. So you're aiming to about 50% coverage. And then the other way to defeat algae is put some plants in. We wouldn't be having our gardening slot if it wasn't talking about plants, would it?
No, definitely.
But I've been very kind to you this week. I thought plant names are long and complicated, but pond plant names,
lily
they're
pads,
really hard.
Lilies, they're easy.
Yeah.
I
so
can,
we're going
can
we're
spell
going
that.
for easy ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So first, so we need four types of plants you need. First of all, you need things which are going to make oxygen in the water. Those are called oxygenators.
Right, okay.
And they're things like hornwort, which just float freely. It looks like a bit of like a cat's tail, but if it was green. That's the best way of describing that. So
All
you
right.
need a bit of hornwort to oxygenate your water.
Hornwort. Okay.
Hornwort, yeah.
That's actually what you go to the chemist with, isn't it? Sorry,
I know,
mate.
it's
I've
a
got this
bad name for
hornwort.
hornwort. Yeah.
Can you sort
Well,
that out for me?
yeah, well, hold your horses, because then one of your floating parts plants might be something called a frog bit. And a floating part plant, like a water lily, actually covers a bit of the air, so stops all that algal growth, and is a really good type of plant, because it just kind of does its own thing, floats around the place.
Yeah, it does. It's quite.
And
I
then,
could be a water lily. I think I could just float around doing nothing.
Yeah, just float around, make a nice pod
Where are
somewhere
they?
For the frogs to do it. I wonder if that's why it's called a frog bit. Anyway, and then if you have bricks or kind of shelves within your planting area, there's two types of plants we put on those. There's either marginal plants, which are the ones which live kind of just below the surface of the water, so in that shallow shelf bit. And those are things like marsh marigold, bright yellow blooms, brilliant for pollinators, great for insects, one of our really great native plants. And then alongside those, you can have bog plants, which, as the name suggests, live in that slightly boggy bit, kind of on the edge of the plant. And you can have things like rushes and grasses. So you can go from your oxygenators, which are bits floating around in it, your floating plants, which have the leaves and the blossom on the surface of your pond, and then you have plants that you plant at the edges, on the margins, and around the bog area. And having a balance of those four types of plants means that you'll beat the algae, you'll provide habitat, you'll provide food and shelter for all sorts of wildlife. And it's relatively easy to maintain. They don't grow fast. They don't tend to kind of, you know, have thorns or smell nasty. And so it's quite a good project to do if you want to plant up a small area. It's just get a little pond or little container area. And it's great for kids, so it's a good half-term project.
And I suppose if you don't get a deep pond, that's also good for kids as well, isn't it? Because, you know, you're...
Yeah, exactly. So in
for
certain
safety.
countries, there's safety considerations. If you're having large areas of open water, you're completely right. And in certain countries, like in France, for swimming pools, they're all fenced off for those reasons. And of course, you know, you should never leave children unattended, particularly small children, where there's a danger of drowning.
Not with the
But you
strimmer.
can...
Shouldn't leave them
No.
unattended with the strimmer or the petrol lawnmower.
No.
No.
No, that no, or snippers or secateurs, all these other type of things. You know, it's, the garden is a great place for children to learn and learn all sorts of skills, but they do need supervision depending on their age and what you think your own child or children in your life are capable of. But there we go. That is the very brief guide to ponds and pond life. But it's a nice thing to do. It can have lots of benefits. And it means that if you've got that part shade tricky area where you're not quite sure what can grow, what can plant, great area to put in a pond.
And it's good for the habitat of your garden as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and it keeps you cool and reduces your air conditioning.
That's
bill,
right.
So there
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, that's
there
right. And if you've got a really big pond in the winter when it freezes over, you can do ice skating on it. That's a bit of luck,
yeah,
isn't it? Bit
or
right.
You could sit in your hot tub and look at your cold tub. So you could be there in your tub, and then your frogs and your newts can be in their
yeah,
little tub
yeah.
beside you.
On the lily pads. Okay. All right. Okay. Right. Thank you. Well, is that it for today?
That is it for today. I think we've got some more questions which seem to be coming in various forms. So I thought maybe in 2 weeks' time, when we next have a question
Yeah,
session,
let's do that then.
We'll ask people what they have in terms of questions, because there might be more things that we've not thought about. We love hearing from you. It's great. It means Dave can laugh at me as I try and pronounce silly words. Yeah. So why don't
So
we do that in
so
2 weeks'
we do a
time?
Q&A session next time then. That's in 2 weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we
yeah
do that.
in
So
June.
if anyone's got any questions, you can email it into the studio, which is studio@basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk, or if you want to, hit us up on the socials, or you can send it to Claire's email if you want to. What's your email, Claire?
My email is clairethegardeneditor@gmail.com, and you can find me on the socials, and I normally try and tag, if my brain works correctly, the good community radio station. And so just get in touch with us, and
That's right.
We'll collate them and do them next time.
That's right. If you can get your questions in by what date did we say? Monday the 11th. Is it the 11th?
Yeah, Monday
When you'll be
should
back
we go
on
for
the
Monday the
12th,
10th?
won't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we go for Monday the 10th of June? That'd be great.
On
That
Monday
gives
the
us a bit of
10th.
time to get things.
So yeah,
Perfect.
get them in by then, and I will pass them over to Claire and get those questions answered. Right. One more thing today, Claire. So before you go, what's your song for today?
Oh, my track of the week is very appropriate for what you're saying about your hot tub. I thought we should go a bit retro, and I thought we should have Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding.
By Otis
So
Redding.
think of
What a
ourselves.
classic, eh? That's a good one, that.
Absolute soul classic. It is a nice one. So lovely to speak to you, and I hope all our listeners have a great, great day. And remember, if you are having a break from exams, it's important to chill out as well as to revise.
That's
Don't tell
right.
your parents.
Thanks, Claire. See you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks then.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.